Got to make sure I gave my highlighter back to my wife. She told me, don't go up there with a highlighter. Don't go up there with a highlighter. You're going to draw too much attention to the highlighter. I drive her crazy in Mexico because where we're at, it's kind of cool there. And so you just never know when it's going to get colder or when it's going to rain. And so when we go out preaching and she comes with us on Friday, we make like a family evangelism Friday night and we go out there. And so when we're preaching and I have my jacket on, and once I start preaching, well, then I like to take off my jacket. But there's no coat hangers where we preach, you know, so I just kind of take one off, one side off and leave half my jacket on. And I can see my wife, and she's just like, you know, wanting to go and grab the jacket, but at the same time I'm preaching, so she can't do it, you know. And she always tells me, "Why do you do that? Why do you?" I says, "It's my pitching arm. You know, I got to keep it warm. I got to keep it warm." But you know, it's an amazing thing. It draws attention. You know, I'm out there with half a jacket on. You know, and I'm already screaming and yelling. And so the people go, what's wrong with this guy? You know, and it does kind of gather. I do what I need to do to get people to listen to me. My highlight is pretty funny, though, because I brought it specifically because I figured, okay, I want to highlight some things in my message. And it turns out the whole crazy thing is highlighted. It's like my wife's grandfather, when he passed away a few years back, he had a bunch of commentaries. I mean, great stuff, Dahan and all this stuff. And so they left me, you know, they let me pick, you know, of what commentaries I wanted, you know, for the house. And man, I started, you know, getting all the stuff that I liked. And it's funny because when I got home and I was looking through them, you know, he liked to highlight his commentaries. But literally, the whole book is highlighted. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, I'm thinking, man, well, then I guess this must be a real good book. Revelation chapter 3. You know, I'm glad you're here today. Amen. I hope you can make it back tonight. Amen. You know, like Brother Brian said, you know, I know we're busy all week long, and sometimes Sundays is you know, your only day off for the most part. You know, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made the effort to come and you're here. But, you know, if you can only just come back, if you can only come one time, you know, try to make it tonight. If you can only come back, if you only can come to church one time, try to make it tonight. I thought it was a good joke, but anyways, that was my joke for the sermon, okay?
You thought you really wanted them back.
I did, but they're already here. You see, that was a joke. They're already here. If you can come back once, never mind. It sounded good in my head. Well, chapter 3. In verse 14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, that we have to meet here together, Lord. And
We know that you're here with us, Lord, and this is just an amazing thought that that you care about us, and that you saved us, Lord, and that you want to save others, Lord, and you want to use your church. You want us to get revived about you again and about what you're interested in. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you shower us, Lord, with these thoughts, Lord, that get back to doing what we know we should be doing and loving you, Father. I just ask this morning that you help me to preach, that you clear my mind, Lord, of the things, Lord, of this world and things going on that are probably really important too, Lord, but nothing as important as coming here and listening to that still small voice, Lord, that you speak to us, Father. I ask for the people today, Lord. I pray that you give everyone here, Lord, something to think about today. He asks these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, just a couple of observations here in Revelation. This church right here is one of the churches, one of the seven churches that's mentioned here in Revelation. It's a church with saved people. It's a church that God loves. Because, I mean, he says it right there, as many as I love, in verse 19, it says, I rebuke and chasten. So he's talking to a group of people who obviously know God, and God knows them. And the thing that struck me as I was reading this and trying to figure some things out, the way it starts off in 15, it says, I know thy works. Man, that is just an amazing thought, and many times we just overlook that. You know, God knows your works.
Amen.
He knows your condition.
That's right.
He knows if you're happy. It's not Santa Claus. He knows everything about you.
Amen.
He knows that you got problems. He knows when things are going good, and he knows when things are going bad, and he knows when you need help, and he knows when things are going okay. You know, he mentions three people here. Three people that I think are people that are in our churches. He mentions the hot, cold, and lukewarm.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about that, that's every single church.
Yeah.
We have hot Christians, we have cold Christians, and we have lukewarm Christians.
Yeah.
And when you think about a hot Christian, I just wrote a few things down. A hot Christian, in my mind, never misses a meeting. I mean, he's there. A hot Christian. Just every single meeting. He reads his Bible.
Amen.
You know, it's an amazing thing. If you read three chapters a day, you read the Bible in 1 year.
Yeah,
I mean, if you don't believe me, just do the math. I did it. When I heard that, I'm thinking, come on, it's a big book, man. You can't read that thing in a year. If you read six chapters, I'm no mathematician, as you learned last night, but six chapters you read in 6 months. If you read 10 chapters a day, you read it in 4 months, just about, almost 4 months, 3.9, whatever. It's not that hard. Now, there's a lot of stuff in here that probably goes way over our heads, but I think we need to get in a habit of reading the Bible. You know, I love this Bible program that I have that Bill and Michael made, because I have it right there on my computer. And I can just open it up, and whatever temptations I have to look on geeks.com or Fox News or whatever, I got the program right there. I got no excuse not to read the Bible. So I can open that thing up and I go, okay, I'm going to read. You know what? And then I can go to Fox News and I can go to whatever else I want to look at and not feel bad. When I think of a hot Christian, I think of somebody who reads his Bible and he prays. And I'm not talking about
praying that we probably normally do, like prayers that we buy. You ever seen people do that?
Yeah.
I see people do that all the time in Mexico. They actually have bookstores in churches, in Catholic churches down there. Down there at the church in Mexico City, we went in there and they have a bookstore in the back of the. It's not. I don't know why I'm saying the bookstore. They don't sell Bibles there. Any kind of books. They sell prayers. Yeah. It's just a business. I mean, I took pictures of that last time we went over there. I'm thinking, wow. As you walk out, I mean, what's your problem? You need a boyfriend? We got a prayer right here. You can buy it. I'm talking about real prayer. I'm talking about talking to God. You know, when we pray, we talk to God.
Amen.
When we read God's word, He talks to us.
Amen.
When I think of a hot Christian, I think about somebody who gives his money without fail.
Amen.
We're summertime right now, and there's folks who are on vacation right now. For whatever reason, they just scheduled it. They didn't. You know, whatever. They're not here. But, you know, sometimes emergencies come up or, you know, they might miss half the conference or, you know, whatever, or whatever the case is. They might miss a couple of weeks of just regular church during the year because they're going to go on vacation, and you should take a vacation. You know, it's okay to take a vacation with your family. You know, I don't think a hot Christian, no, I'm just never going to miss. I'm going to have to get right back, you know, to my meeting on Sunday, and I just can't take a vacation, man. But you know, it don't matter if they're on vacation. They already set that money aside.
Yeah, that's
right. And they said, I can't touch this.
Yeah, that's right.
Steal from God? How can I steal from God? I've already promised this to them. Nah, they'll drop that thing in the mail and then they'll go have a good time on their vacation.
Yeah.
When I think of a hot Christian, I think about somebody who's involved in everything. And they're tired. Sometimes. During this revival, you guys printed up I don't know how many flyers, and how many of you all went out and passed them? I don't even know if you passed them all out. But, you know, I dare to say not everybody passed out flyers.
Yeah, that's right.
How can I say that? I don't even know who passed them out because I know how churches work. We have conferences down there too. We do things too. You know, when I think of a hot Christian, I think of somebody who lives a separated life. No drugs.
That's right.
No alcohol. No vices. They're careful. Do they get tempted? Sure. Who doesn't get tempted?
Amen.
You know, there's lots of things that I don't do that I'm really not tempted anymore. You know? I'm around somebody who smokes and it's just the smell. I mean, you know, if you want to smoke, that's your business. But I just don't want to do it. You know? And I don't know why anybody would want to start doing it. You know, I see little kids in elementary, I guess elementary, they're 12, 13 years old and smoking. You know that's wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Your body tells you it's wrong.
Yeah.
The first time somebody smokes, have you ever seen them? That's your body telling you, you big dummy, don't be putting smoke in there.
Yeah, that's right.
God set that up that way. He said, you know what, this is no good. You need to cough this stuff out.
Yeah.
And then you burn everything inside, and then your body says, oh, forget it, man. Think of a hot Christian. I think somebody who's happy and rejoicing and just loving God and wanting to serve Him.
Amen.
When I think of a cold Christian, I think of somebody who comes every now and again. Special times. Mission conferences. We have dinner on the grounds at mission conference. Get some free food. Might even volunteer to come and help out during the week to feed the missionaries. Because that'll give them that might give them access to other days that they come during their lunch hour and they can eat too.
You know, when I think about a cold Christian, somebody probably doesn't even read their Bible every now and again. Sunday morning comes and it's maybe a special Sunday morning and they go, well, you know what? I haven't been to church in a while. It's been about a month. I'm in there. I got to go today. Where did I leave that book? Where is that book? That's a cold Christian. You know, when I think about a cold Christian, I think about somebody who doesn't pray. Vices? Yeah, they got them. They got them. They don't consider themselves drunkards. Nah, they're not drunkards. They're casual drinkers. Well, you know, Paul did say, told Timothy, a little wine, good for the stomach. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to eat, you know. I talk to some people sometimes, and usually young people, and when we preach against vices or preach against different things, or they're not really too clear because they're holding on to these and they don't consider themselves that bad because they're not waking up in their own vomit. They just drink every now and again. And they come up to me and they say, you know, where's that line? How far can I get to that line without actually going over that line and still be okay with God? Well, why are you thinking that way?
Yeah, that's right.
Why don't you try to get as far away from that line
Yes.
as you possibly can? I mean, wouldn't it be better for you to get to heaven? And I'm talking to saved people, cold saved people. Wouldn't it be better to get to heaven and God tell you, man, you were just too fanatic in that area. You should have been just a little bit. I mean, you know, you were just too way over. It'd be a whole lot better for God to tell you that.
Yeah.
You were just too holy. I don't think He is. I don't think He's gonna tell anybody that. You're just too holy. You just wanted to do too much for me. Ah, but that would be nice if we just concentrated on doing our best for God. Cold Christian has vices. You know, they're not faithful giving. They only give when they come. Cold Christians. But then you got lukewarm Christians. And this made me think about lukewarm Christians, because we've all heard messages, right? Lukewarm. I mean, you know, we can only drink stuff that are hot. We don't even drink stuff that's cold. Lukewarm stuff, that ain't no good. You know, lukewarm mostly goes to the meetings. Mostly. He mostly tithes. Mostly reads his Bible. He's mostly careful about how he lives. I mean, every now and again, he just might be influenced in. He knows that if he goes, or he knows if he's around those people, more than likely, he's going to do what they do. He's not really too careful. You know, when I got saved, I had a problem with smoking. I had a problem with smoking. I was so dumb. I started dipping. I don't know if they call it that now, but dipping, you know, tobacco. When I was like in sixth grade. And everyone did it. And then when I got to about eighth grade, I didn't want to do it no more. And an older guy in high school told me, you want to stop dipping? You need to start chewing. Chewing tobacco. Because that's gross. You chew tobacco and you get rid of this. Okay, I'll try it. So there I go. I buy that big league thing, wad it up. I put it in my mouth and I almost died. I mean, so much to the point where I couldn't get it out because the junk was going down my throat and I was gagging. And I tried to put my finger in my mouth to pull it out and I gagged more. I was just like, oh, trying to get that junk out. I got sick. But you know what? That didn't stop me. You know, your body gets used to it. And so here I am dipping and chewing at the same time. So then, I come up to San Antonio, and it was before I got saved, and I didn't want to be doing that. I mean, there's a lot of concrete around here. You know, we don't live in the country. It's easier when you live on the country. You just spit on the ground. You know, but here, it's kind of gross. You know, everybody's like, what are you doing? You know, this is Sam's. You know, you can't be spit on the floor. So I said, I got to stop that. And so they tell me, well, you want to stop that? You start smoking. Oh, okay. Well, then I'll start smoking. And then, you know, the whole thing, you know, your body's telling you don't do that. You're going the wrong way. So now I'm smoking, dipping, and chewing. You know what the best advice was? To stop smoking and dipping and chewing.
Amen.
You know what the best advice was? I heard Brother Lindell say, when I wanted to stop smoking, I carried around a New Testament in my pocket. And every time I wanted to smoke, I'd pull it out and read. I thought, that's a pretty good idea. Yeah. I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
I don't dip and I don't chew and I don't smoke.
Amen.
And every now and again, I come across that little New Testament that I had. I have it. It floats around. I'm pretty sure I got to Puebla. Every now and again, I'm looking through something, and I see that dirty old thing full of grease, it's just an old Gideon Bible. Just, yeah, good times.
Amen.
But, you know, when I think about a lukewarm Christian, they're mostly careful about how they live. They mostly get excited about God's work. You know, they do. Lukewarm Christians, they get excited. They come to a revival meeting and they might hear, well, man, I got to preach 12 messages. At least one might be good. You know? So they hear that one message that might touch them and they get a little bit excited. And then that next week it's just gone. Just lukewarm. They didn't make any decisions. They didn't turn their lives. They didn't get the point, but it just made them feel okay. It made them feel, yeah, this is good. This is, you know, thank you, Lord. And I believe they're sincere. I believe when a lukewarm Christian hears something like that and they get moved, I think it's God going, you know, got to remember I got that water there. God saying, hey, we got a little pulse. Those are the three types. Which one do you want in your church? Which one do you want? Of course, that's a given. They're going to be here. Hot ones, man. That's what I want, hot ones. But you know, I started looking at this. I want lukewarm. Hot ones are going to be here, right? We already said that. They're going to be here every single meeting. Every single meeting, they're going to be here. I want the lukewarm ones, opposed to cold. Because at least the cold ones know they're cold. But the lukewarm ones, they think they're okay. I mean, I think that's the point of this. I think that's what he's saying. I mean, look what he says. It says in verse 15, I would thou wert cold or hot. He's talking about lukewarm. I don't think God's saying the reason why I'm spitting you out of my mouth is because you're lukewarm. I mean, seriously, really? Lukewarm stuff is bad? How do you eat your candy bar? I don't like it cold. It breaks my teeth. And I don't want it hot. Have you ever had a hot candy bar? Have you ever bought a Snicker and kept it in Texas heat in your car? It's gooey. It's fun. You know, you open up and it's just, oh, this, I mean, it's fun, but I don't care for a hot Snicker bar. How do you like eating avocados? You like them out of the freezer? They're kind of hard to cut. When you eat an avocado, do you pop it in the microwave? I don't pop them in the microwave. I get a warm tortilla or a piece of bread. And I open up that avocado, and I yank it out of there, and I smash it in that bread, and I chow down. But I don't mind stuff lukewarm. There's some things I like. Lukewarm. Room temperature. I don't think that's what God's saying here. I don't think God is saying, and I don't think God is saying, you know what? You're lukewarm, and guess what? I wish you were either hot or cold. I don't want you lukewarm. So all the lukewarm people in here, you say, well, hot ain't going to do it. I'll just be cold. I don't think God wants you cold either. I think He really wants you hot. See, the reason why I don't mind having lukewarm Christians in my church is because they're a lot closer to being hot. Isn't that right? I mean, I already proved the last couple of nights I'm not the smartest, sharpest pencil in the box. But I know lukewarm is a lot closer to hot than cold. You know, I don't think that we can, that if we end this revival, and I say, Brother Lindell, that, I mean, we got all the lukewarm Christians in here cold. You know, I hope I didn't do you service this week. Well, we already know what cold Christians, they don't show up. So we're just going to have a couple people here. We don't want that. No, the cold Christians probably didn't show up today. The cold Christians probably ain't going to show up not much this week. The cold Christians aren't going to show up probably next Sunday. And I'm not trying to be ugly. Look, I'm sorry. If this is your first time in church in a month, it was just next in line. I mean, the messages, you know what I'm saying? I had to come up with 12 messages. And literally, I did not number them at all. I said, okay, Lord, I'm just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then I moved them around a little bit, and then I looked at them. And then, if you haven't been here in a month, you know, maybe you're lukewarm. Maybe you just need to get a little closer to God. But I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not trying to get anybody mad. And I'm not trying to tell you that I'm hot, man. I mean, I'm hot. I'm not trying to say that. I think we all suffer with lukewarmness. All of us. Even the hot Christians. I mean, my wife gives me a hot cup of coffee. And I tell her, you know, I don't mind getting it myself. I really don't. But it tastes so much better when she gets it. It really does. I mean, it's a proven fact. At least in my mind, it just tastes so much better. And the crazy thing about it is I just like it black. I don't put anything in it. Just black, man. I mean, it's coffee. I don't know what some people drink, man. They put just, you know... Like my wife, I always tell her, do you want coffee with that sugar? Good night, man. That's not coffee. That's candy. But you know, when she brings me a hot cup of coffee, if I don't drink it right away, it's going to get lukewarm. Right? It's going to get lukewarm. And I don't mind drinking lukewarm coffee. I'll drink. If it's, I'm not going to throw it away. It's coffee. And most of the time, I'm pretty much too lazy to get up and put it in the microwave. So I'll just drink it. And just go get my wife get me a nice fresh cup of coffee. But you know what? It's no problem. If we have a microwave, we have microwaves nowadays. If it's lukewarm and you don't like it lukewarm, you pop that thing in the microwave and it gets hot in about 45 seconds. Well, you know, I think that's what church is. It should be. It's like a big microwave. You know? You just program it, man. And hopefully, you know, the preacher's going to bring just the right thing just to get us, just motivate us. Just, again, just revive us and just get us hot again. Amen. But you know what happens when you stay out and stay out and stay out and you become that lukewarm Christian and you think you're okay? Because you do, you know, come every, you know, at least more than the cold guy. You do pop in. You do grace us with your presence every 2 weeks. You know, I don't think that's a successful revival. When I think about a cold Christian, I think the reason, and maybe I'm just looking at this, maybe the reason why God says I'd rather you be cold, I don't think he desires that. Don't get me wrong, he does not desire for you to be cold. But I'm thinking the reason why he says, man, weren't you be cold or hot, is because the hot Christian, well, I'm pretty sure we know when we're right with God, right? I mean, we know it. If we're doing all the right things, if we're sure, we might need just a little boost every now and again, a little something to jumpstart us. But man, we're mostly on track, and we're trying to serve God, and we know we're okay. We've examined our lives. We're thinking, okay, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But a cold Christian is exactly the same way, but opposite. He knows he's cold. And they don't make no, what's the phrase? Bones about it? Is that it? Is that right? I don't know. You go to that person that haven't been in church in months, and you go, come on, you know, you run into them. Hey, man, we've missed you. And you're sincere. We've missed you. Where have you been? I mean, I'm sincere. When I see somebody who's been in church and he was going, and something happens, and I go look for him, I go to their houses, I call them up, I'm very sincere, I want them back in church. But when they're cold, they say, I'm fine, I don't want to go. They don't even hide it. Lukewarm Christians... Now, lukewarm Christians, they know last night they were somewhere where they shouldn't be. And you say, hey, where were you last night? Well, you know, yeah, you know, I was, you know, just hanging out. You know. And they come up with all this stuff, all these excuses, and you don't know, you don't know if they're telling the truth, if they're trying to squirm out of something, if they're changing the subject, or what's going on with you. Just straight talk with me. Are you in sin? Let me help you out. What do you think I'm going to do? Pop you over the head? You think the pastors and the preachers and the godly people, because they should be Christians in the church, in the body of believers who are spiritual. I mean, doesn't the Bible say that?
Yeah.
Those of us that are spiritual. Hey, it's not a shame to be spiritual. It's like when people tell me, no, is this it? You read the Bible. No, don't talk to me. I can't debate with you because you read the Bible too much. And is that bad?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? No, is it you guys are too dogmatic? Well, you know, being dogmatic is good, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
It is. Just think about it. When you go to the doctor, don't you want a dogmatic doctor?
Yeah,
or do you want somebody to say, take these pills and if it doesn't kill you,
yeah,
and you're feeling sort of bad afterwards, and maybe I'll give you something else. Is that what you want? No, you want a doctor to say, you big dummy, you need to get on a diet, you need to take these pills, you need to exercise, you need to do this, this, and this. And you argue with the doctor and he says, no. This is what you got to do.
That's right.
Or what about you hop on a plane. you're on a plane and the pilot comes on. He says, we're about to land in San Antonio. And you know what? Just for kicks, I'm going to try to land a little differently. What was that? Yeah, you know what? I've been doing the same old thing. I mean, it works. We got a good success rate. I mean, for sure we will touch ground and you will be at your destination without any problems. But somebody complained that I'm a little bit dogmatic. So I'm going to try something new. We're going to flip this big boat upside down, and we're going to try to slide it on our backside.
See how that works out for us.
No, so I want dogmatic preaching.
Yeah, that's right.
I want somebody who knows what to do and knows things that work.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
And to tell me what my problem is.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, just awesome advice. I put a New Testament, and when I got the urge, I pulled it out. You know how long it takes you to smoke a cigarette? Like 7 minutes or something? I think it's what... is what I remember. 7 minutes. And then after you smoke that cigarette, the urge is gone, isn't it? It pretty much takes that much when you read the Bible. You get that urge, you start reading, you get your mind off that feeling, and it's just gone. Then you put it back. Then you're about your business. And then, again, the same thing happens, and you pull it out again. So you pull it out 20 times. Well, I think cigarettes come in 20 count, and you were probably smoking a pack a day anyways.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I mean, how much is cigarette now? It's like $3 or $4? $5? Man, you could go down to Bill Miller's and just have a good old time.
Yeah.
$5 a day. You know, I mean, just add it up. 5 times 7, 35. $35? You know, I was telling Lauren, I said, Lauren, okay, we're giving you this spending money, and I know you're going to be going out with the young people, but you got to think about what you're buying. Don't feel like you have to eat every single night. This is all you get. Now, if you're really hungry, honey, you know, pay the $5 is fine. But if you're not, if you can hold off... Uncle Billy has some pickles and peanuts and lots of stuff at the house, so you get home and pig out. We got to calculate some things.
Yeah, that's right, amen. That's right.
You know, you're going the wrong way. Lukewarm is not where you want to be. You want to be hot. And you definitely don't want to be cold. Man, I've seen people like that. I've seen people marry the wrong people. Oh, they were hot. They were hot when they were there. Is that your boyfriend? Oh, yeah, yeah, and he's saved. Oh, yeah, he's saved. Yeah, yeah, man, he's just hot. He's just hot. I was thinking, maybe they're thinking about his looks. I don't know. I took for granted to think about spiritually hot. And then they get married and they're not so hot no more. They start staying home. I mean, I know those people, and I believe they're saved. I believe they're born again believers. I've talked to them. They're just cold. I'll go whenever I want to. Okay. Well, don't want to fight. Everything's cool or cold. You know, I don't think lukewarm Christians are hypocrites. I looked up that definition. And a hypocrite is a person who pretends to have virtues, morals, or religious beliefs. Principles that they do not possess. That's what the dictionary says. They pretend to have them. But see, a lukewarm Christian doesn't pretend to have it.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it says? I mean, just look at it. It's this amazing thing when you just read the Bible. 17, it says, because thou sayest, it says, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. A lukewarm Christian actually thinks they possess all this. This is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. The way I'm living is what God wants. No, it's not what God wants. I really don't think you are living hypocritically. I mean, I could look at you and I could probably say, that guy's a hypocrite. But the problem is you don't consider yourself a hypocrite. Because you think you're okay. You're doing everything, mostly. You know, lukewarm Christians, they sometimes say, living for God is just too hard. It's too hard. Too hard. Tell me about it. It's hard. But it's a good hard. You know? I mean, a few months back, I went down and I worked with Mike Jackson. He has a place down there at the coast, and he was going to put down a foundation, and went down and worked with him. Man, that guy works, man. It's hard. And they tell me it ain't nothing now. I mean, he's old and decrepit, and I mean, you know, it ain't nothing, man. You should have been with him 20 years ago, 30 years ago. He was an animal. I'm thinking, well, I don't know about that, but I'm tired. You know? And I mean, Mike treated me good. I mean, he gave me breaks every, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever. Come on, come on. And he'd open up his ice chest and a bunch of Rice Krispie cakes and a bunch of stuff in there, man. I was like, wow, Snicker bars and you know, all this stuff. The problem with that is after I ate, oh, I don't feel like working no more. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, God. shoveling. You know, and I wasn't doing the fun stuff, you know? I mean, Mike Jackson has a wheelbarrow. He bought a brand new wheelbarrow for this job. It has an engine. I think me and you call it a tractor. But it's great, man. I mean, and Mike was the one, you know, he was going and stuff. And, hey, get over here, move this around. I was like, man, I wish I had that job. It's hard, but you know what? I got the best sleep at night. Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, Taylor would say, Uncle John, you snore. Yes, you do. And I said, no, I don't. Yeah, no, you do. And I said, no. Because every time I woke up, I didn't hear a thing. But you know, it's hard, they say. Come on. What did you have to give up for God to save you? What'd you give up, Danny? Come on. Give up? No, man, we got. We got so much more. Last night, I saw a great big old guy with red hair coming in a uniform to this church. He's sitting right back there. He doesn't have his uniform on. Great big old guy. He walked in with a badge and shh. And you know what? When I saw him, I thought, hey, that's Jason, man. How you doing, Jason? Before I got saved? What's that guy doing here, man? Is that door locked? You know, you're driving down the street now as a Christian, and lights could be going, you see a cop, and you're thinking, wonder who they're after. I mean, sometimes they might even get mad at you because it took you too long to stop. You happen to be speeding. But you said, well, I really didn't know you were looking at me. You see, because I didn't get in the car to speed. I can read 55. I know what it says. I messed up. You see, Christians want to obey God, obey the laws. We know that God put up these institutions for us, to protect us. You know? I mean, that's why we have laws. Let me get on. You know, we think about how we gave up so much. And it's hard, but you know what? It's not true. You know what the hard life is? Living for the devil.
Yes.
That's a hard life.
Amen.
Man, you know, I know, you say what you want about, you know, programs like Dr. Phil, but that really, I like those shows. I really do. And the ones that really get my attention are the ones that he puts young people on that are on drugs. You know, I make sure I get Lauren there. You watch this, Lauren, because Lauren doesn't know what people, you know, how people are around drugs. I mean, you know, thank God we don't do drugs at our house.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, a little NyQuil every now and again. But we don't do drugs at the house. I don't run down to the corner store and buy a six-pack and relax on Friday afternoon. I don't do that. You know, when Lauren was younger and she was looking through the albums at my house, at my mom's house, and she came across a picture where I had killed a deer. And it was hanging and I'm standing next to it. You know, beautiful deer. And I saw that picture. I said, "Oh, Lauren, look, your daddy's a great hunter."
Yeah.
Look how, I mean, it took me two shots, but that dad, you know, dad can hunt. But you know, my daughter didn't see the deer. She didn't even notice it. That wasn't what called her attention. You know what called her attention? The little bitty can I had right next to me. Yeah. That said Miller Lite.
Yeah.
She said, "Daddy, what's that?" Yeah. "Doesn't look like a Dr. Pepper." I love Dr. Pepper. "Doesn't look like a Dr. Pepper, Dad." Yeah. "Well, son, hon, that's, I wasn't saved then.
Yeah.
I used to drink back then. Man, it embarrasses me now. It really does.
Amen.
You know, and I don't think it's wise. At least me, you do what you want, but I'm not going to tell my daughter everything I did.
Yeah.
I don't think we should come to church and hang out our dirty laundry either.
Right.
You know? It truly shames me when I think about. And that's what the Bible says it should do. I mean, we should be ashamed of, yeah. You know, but at the same time, God said, "Look, I saved you out of all that."
Yeah. Amen.
Hard?
Yeah.
No, the devil, living for the devil's hard.
Yes. Amen.
You see those people on those programs and you see people who I don't know what they call it, I forget the name, but where they put all the Clorox and all a bunch of junk in there and they make these drugs and they smoke them or sniff them or drink them. I don't know what they do. But you see their before and after pictures? And they're beautiful young ladies, 15, 16-year-old, and they're just beautiful young ladies. And you see them just a few years later in this stuff, and they look like they're old. I don't want to get anybody bitter and call out a number. They just look older. They look worn out. They look like they've just been run over. That's the reality, man. That's the devil. That's hard. But have you, I mean, just look at the people around you who are living for God. Look at Brother Lindell. I mean, good night, man. That guy's happy. Look at him. I mean, sure, diabetes and sure, but that doesn't stop him, man. I mean, you know, he took me out to breakfast the other day and I left one piece of bacon there, you know. I mean, I want to put that knife to my throat. I don't want to, you know, don't want to, eat too much. Brother Linda goes, "You need that piece of bacon?" And I say, well, no, sir. I was just going to leave it there. "Oh, I ain't going to let that piece of bacon go away." I mean, that guy has fun.
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord.
I mean, when I get 70-something... I want to be that way.
Amen.
I want to have fun. I mean, Brother Lindo, a few years back, he went down to Mexico to preach, and somebody tells him, "Are you Billy's younger brother?" Brother Lindo says, "Yeah, that's right." I mean, the gospel does you good, man.
Amen.
I don't think living for God is hard. But let me tell you something, lukewarm Christians, it's not going to satisfy you. Everything out there, it's just not going to do it. I'm just going to read a couple of more verses to you to try to bring this point. That lukewarmness in us. And we got to admit it. Are you lukewarm? Well, then you got to admit it. You got to. What's the point? Why do you want to be lukewarm? And if you're cold, oh man, I plead with you, at least be lukewarm. I'd like you hot, but maybe too hot to make you explode. Cold to hot, you just blow up. I don't know. At least get to lukewarm. And then we can go from there. But look what it says, Ecclesiastes. I mean, this guy is, you know, like the richest guy, you know, of his time and just a lot of wisdom. And he says in Ecclesiastes, I hope it's chapter 1. I mean, I wrote it down. Verse 8. You tell me if it's it. I just printed it out. It says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing.
Yeah.
You get that?
Yeah.
You ain't going to get satisfied.
Everything,
and just look at the world and all the stuff, man. I mean, we're tempted on all sides. And I'm not talking about bad things. I mean, I don't think a big old flat screen TV is a bad thing. I really don't. Now, if you sit in front of it all day long, it might be a bad thing. But you know, every now and again, you want to watch a movie, you want to watch a program, you want to watch something. Man, the bigger the better. I don't think a new car is a bad idea. You know, you got money for a Mercedes, a BMW, whatever you want, a 4x4 truck, a Jeep. I mean, who cares? Buy it, man. Have fun. If you can afford it, just do it. If you can afford it, just do it. Don't try to impress anybody. Just do it if you can afford it. Buy those things. Those are fun. But they're not going to satisfy you.
That's right.
You buy that new car, and I guarantee you the next year, they're going to come out with something better.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're going to go, if I trade this in. Isn't that right? If I trade this in, oh, man, you know. And you get something better. Fine, you want to get to lease it, whatever you want, get something better. But you're never going to get satisfied. But if you have Christ, if you're satisfied in Him, you can have fun in that car, no problem. Because that's not what you're aiming for. You're good with God. You're satisfied with God. You can get in that car and say, yeah, there's going to be a new car next year. Lots of people have better cars than I do. It doesn't matter. God gave me this car. You can be satisfied with what God gave you. The ear. It ain't going to be satisfied. Are you serious? I mean, I wish we could be satisfied with hearing. I really do. As a preacher, I wish we could. Because that means I could just come up with one sermon. And if you're satisfied with that sermon, I can preach it every single Sunday. Wouldn't have to study. Wouldn't have to do anything. I'm going to bring that same, if I want to preach on marriage, that message, because it worked. They were satisfied with that message. It'll work every time. But you know, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, that's right.
I can preach a message and preach it, and man, it just wow, it just, you know, and then preach it again somewhere else, and they're like, what are you talking about? The hearing is never satisfied.
Yeah,
look what else it says. I'm almost done. Ecclesiastes 4:8. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is the eye satisfied with riches. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. You know, money's not going to do it either.
That's right.
It's amazing. You know that guy, I don't even know his name, Bernie something another. The guy who swindled all that money?
Yeah.
Look what it got him. He's in prison.
Yeah.
For the rest of his life. You know, and they say, yeah, he hid away billions of dollars, but I'm sorry, you can't go to Hawaii in prison.
Yeah.
Who cares if he's had billions of dollars somewhere stashed away? It's going to die with him.
Yeah.
You think money is the answer? Money's not the answer. Now, if you have Christ, if you're satisfied with Jesus, and you have money, man, you can enjoy that money. It's no problem. Why? Because your focus is not that.
Amen.
You'll never be satisfied. Your eyes, you're going to always want more. Your ears, you're always wanting to hear something else. Riches, it ain't going to do it for you. I mean, this isn't me talking. Look, I'm not rich, so my words don't carry a lot of weight. That's why I decided to go to Solomon. If I tell you, hey, guys, money isn't all that's, built up. Nah. You look at me and look at my life, you're thinking, but you're not rich. How do you know? Well, I don't know. Come to think of it, I really don't know, but I mean, it sounded good. Well, we're talking to the guy who is, he had money, he had everything, man. Everything. And he says, if you want this stuff, if this is what you live for, it ain't going to satisfy you. He's wiser than you and I. He's experienced some things. I think we need to figure some things out. I mean, this is the way God's remedy. Now I'll end with this. In Revelation chapter 3, God says in verse 19 to repent. God says in verse 20, he says he stands at the door and he knocks. When I read that verse and I was thinking about that verse last night and I just kept going over and over in my head, he's knocking. And I know we use that verse for lost people. God's knocking on your door, God's, but he's talking to saved people. He's talking to the church. And I don't care. I'm not going to get picky. If you want to tell a lost person that God's knocking, I think God does tug and knock and kick and, he wants to wake some people up. But if you really want to know who he's talking to, he's talking to you.
That's right. Amen.
He's talking to us and he's saying, I'm knocking at the door. And the crazy thing about it is the Bible says that we are the temple of God. This is his house. And he's outside knocking to get inside.
That's right.
Of his own house. You say, I'm not going to let you in. But it's his house. You're not going to have peace. I know you're not going to have peace. For some reason, I don't know why, but I bug people. And I mean, I'm fidgety. I'll sit there and, if I tap and then my wife goes, stop it. And then, okay, I'm sorry. And then I start, doing something else. Or start, I love noisemakers, and so I start, God's doing this. He's knocking. And he ain't going to stop knocking. Yeah. You're his. That's his temple. And he has right to get in.
Yes, he does.
Amen. And he loves you. Amen. And he's rebuking you. Yeah. And he's chastising you. And he's knocking. And open the door.
Yes.
Have some fellowship.
Yes.
Have some good times with God. Because this is going to make you colder. You're lukewarm now. It's going to start bugging you. I wish he'd stop knocking. That noise is really bugging me. See what I'm saying? But how about when somebody comes who you really like? And they knock on that door. Oh, you're eager to open that door. Let's get the good times going. One verse, Colossians. Colossians 1. I'm going to end it with this. Colossians. One. And verse 18. He said, and he, talking about God, talking about Jesus, he says, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He wants to be first in all things.
Yeah, amen.
I'm not the smartest, sharpest pencil in that box. Might even be one French fry short of a happy meal, you know? But I know what all means.
Yeah,
and he wants all of you.
Yeah.
This is what you got to think about today. Am I lukewarm? Am I cold? Am I hot? Do I need to get hotter? Have I gone down to lukewarm? Do I need to get back? And God's knocking. And God wants you back.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalm book number 246. Let's stand.